Thank you. Fire on Colette. More, Lord. More, Lord. Just have a little nap there, Colette. No, you can get up if you want, but bless her, Lord. Yeah, come on up, Dan and Hannah and Ruth, because we're going to just see what the Lord says. Amen. Hello, Harlow, everybody. Yay. Father, thank you for this great group of people. By the way, I do have a few books at the back. I have a new book that's being published by Destiny Image, not quite out yet. But that one's about parenting and mentoring, so just if you want to pick that up. But Lord, I thank you for your presence here. God, I thank you for your fire. Lord, speak to us, and I ask for lasting fruit from this time this morning. Thank you for what you've already done. But Lord, we welcome more. We welcome your glory. We welcome your fire. We welcome your presence. And just do what you love to do, Jesus. And thank you for this awesome three people here. God, just thank you for using them too powerfully. So let your fire fall. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Dan. By the way, Dan and Hannah are married. And they're from Catch the Fire, London. And just awesome, awesome couple. I knew them way before they got married. And this is Ruth, as mentioned, from Scotland. Yes.
I felt when I, we were praying this morning in worship, just that there's an incredible unity within this church. And I was just drawn to Psalm 133, so I'm just going to read it very quickly. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It's as if the Jew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. And yeah, I just want to, yeah, bless you right now in Jesus' name, just for that unity to increase, for that blessing to increase, for that blessing to be bestowed on every single person here, for that life. And even as we're praying for healing this morning, I just declare that life to flow evermore. And I just, yeah, I really feel there's just this amazing unity here within this church, this incredible family. And I just want to, yeah, bless that to increase right now in Jesus' name. Amen. That every single person here would feel like a brother and sister. Every single person who comes here would feel like a brother and sister. I just declare, yeah, this amazing welcoming presence within this place, this hospitality within this place. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, and the gentleman at the back, yeah, with a stripy and navy blue, yeah. I mean, is it your wife next to you as well? Would you get to stand up? Is that all right? Oh, amazing. What's your names?
Selva.
Selva. Selva.
And Barty.
Selva and Barty. Thank you. I felt like God was saying that he has clothed you with power from on high. That's at the end of Luke. And filled you with his Holy Spirit. I feel like there may be sort of some things that you're facing at the moment, some challenges that you're facing at the moment. And God really wants to say to you that he's given you the tools for the task. And I felt as well that he is giving you supernatural productivity. I felt almost as if time was almost standing still in some areas, and actually you're going to be able to achieve and accomplish so much more than would be naturally or humanly possible because of the things that God has given you and the tools that God has given you. Yeah, and I encourage you as well just to pray through the armor of God as well, and just to really, I felt that's going to be really important for you, just to really be almost clothing yourself in the spirit, and really sort of keeping that within you and keeping that on you, just you know, almost daily, just praying through that Ephesians 6 passage. So bless you guys.
Younger, yes. What's your name? Yes, you that's looking behind you. What's Ronnie? I just felt the Father just say there is an incredible worshipper inside of you, and that he is anointing you to write songs that are going to bring freedom and deliverance to the people around you. I really felt like the Father was saying that he's anointing you to set you apart from this generation, that as one, that you are going to be one that burns brightly in the kingdom. You're going to be one that stands for righteousness and purity. When the world around you tries to pull you one way or the other, you are going to be a bright shining light that will not be wavered. I saw you standing upon a rock rock that, you know, that is Jesus, and you were not movable. The winds of this world will come and they will try and push you back and forth and to and fro. But I felt the Father to just say that in that place of intimacy that you have with him, in that place where I saw you in your bedroom writing songs, singing songs to the Father, him singing songs over you, in that place you are going to find a grounding and a rooting that is going to make you immovable. And I really feel like the Father is saying that your future is going to be one that is live for the kingdom. You're going to see the kingdom around you. And I really think there is a ministry calling on your life to work and live in the church. And I really feel like the Father is going to expand your possibilities and your the things that he has for you. There's an expansion coming around you. And I feel like where you've kind of said, well, I'm just me, how can I do this? I feel the Father is going to break open that lid off of you, and there's going to be identity that he is going to speak into you over this next time. I really feel like the Father wants to tell you who you are to him and who he's made you to be. And I see you growing as a giant in the kingdom, and one that is going to stand before other giants, and you're going to be able to bring down the things of darkness, and you're going to stand there. And I really believe that this is all rooted in that place of intimacy where you worship him, and he's created that worshiper inside of you. So in the name of Jesus, I just want to bless you as bright and shining light in the kingdom. I want to bless that worshiper inside of you to arise to a new level, and we call forth that man of purity, that man of righteousness to arise in a new level. And I ask right now that anything, any lies of the enemy that are coming in to try and tell you that you are not a man of God, that you are that's trying to distract you from the call of God, I silence those lies right now in the name of Jesus. And we call forth the purpose and the identity that God has placed inside of you. You are a son of God. You are the beloved of the kings. And right now I call forth that destiny to arise and shine. Anything of the enemy that's trying to come in against you, we break that off. I break off any things of depression or anything that's going to try and bring you down in Jesus' name. And we call forth that amazing, mighty man of God that you are in Jesus' name.
And the Lord has highlighted the three of you guys in this row. And I don't know, are you guys friends together? Oh, your brothers. Okay, because I thought that there was some connection. I really feel that the Lord is uniting you three together quite powerfully. And I do feel that together, if you unite together, that there's going to be a great ministry that's going to start. And I see you evangelizing to the men in this community and the hard men in this community and those who are kind of quite anti-God, anti-Christian, the footballer guys, if you are associate with those type of men. But I just feel the Lord is saying that he wants you to come together and socialize together. And I do feel that as you socialize together and you pray together, and even if you declare things over your friends and start praying for the breakthrough of the Lord in your friendship groups, I see the Lord expanding them out. And I see more men coming to know the Lord, that there's a real... especially you two as well. Like, I know you've got the worshiper anointing, but I feel for both of you that there's that real evangelism over you, that as you minister and pray, that there's going to be great salvation that will walk through you. And I also hear the Lord saying that where there has been any kind of maybe a kind of working of the enemy in your family line, where the enemy's tried to kind of come in like a fire and bring pain and suffering, even ill health in your family line, that the Lord is just going to come and break that spirit of infirmity off of you. And I just want to affirm that you both are incredible men of God, and that the Lord has strategically placed you in this community and in this area because you are going to do warfare against the enemy. And I really feel that it's that this church needs you, that it's critical that you're part of this church. And I really see you, there's leadership over both of you, and I do see that in this season the Lord is going to raise you up, kind of almost even doing like outreach together as a pair together. So I just bless that. And this man in the back row with the glasses on, I just really feel the Lord is saying that there's a real pass. I just see a pastor over you, a pastor anointing and a teaching anointing over you, that the Lord says that when he gives you scriptures to read, you see hidden treasures within the scriptures, and I see you teaching and leading and speaking in many different environments, that there's also that, I just feel the Lord loves your humor, that you've got a great sense of humor. People love socializing with you and, spending time with you, and I see you, almost evangelizing and, moving in different communities and different circles. And where the Lord, I feel the Lord says that where you felt like you've not fitted in, the Lord is saying that he never asked you to conform, but he asked you to conform to what he's called and what he's placed over you, that there's a Joshua anointing over you to take the land. And the Lord says, persevere, do not give up, maintain your time with him. I see it's really important because you're a man of the word, and the enemy's worked hard to try to distract you from that. But I feel the Lord saying that you need to pursue him completely. And that might look a bit unusual. I feel he's almost going to ask you to have this crazy amount of time with him, and all your friends and family are going to be like, why is he spending even more time with me? Do you know? But I feel God is saying that if you give him the time that he's asking you, so you're spending a lot of time on your own, studying scriptures, praying, interceding, and as you do that, God is just going to come and promote you really quickly, but it's intimacy. So I just affirm that, and I just ask, anything that's not of you, God, let it fall to the ground in Jesus' name. Let only your words take root. But I just bless that word over you in Jesus' name. I'm the only one that's...
It's amazing. They called out everybody who I would have called out. That is crazy. That is the Lord. By the way, are you an educator? Yeah. I just see teaching, teaching, teaching. And that's your wife? Father, I thank you for the dynamic duo. That they're a dynamic duo, God. They're a mighty, mighty couple. And so much of your fathering is through education. And I bless you as it's not just teaching people. It's also just, you know, she's a teacher, by the way. You go lay hands on him. She's a teacher. Doesn't look like it. She looks like she's a 14-year-old, but she's actually a high school teacher. But, I think, you know why? Cause it's such a mission field, such a mission field. Father, I thank you that even as he speaks word of destiny, he speaks words of encouragement, as there is an anointing to, bring clarity to calling, clarity to gifting. So Father, I thank you for that prophetic in the job, the prophetic spirit, the ministry anointing right there in the school system. And for this amazing woman of God, such an intercessor that she is, God, I thank you for the bringing them here even to this nation, to affect this nation for your glory and your power and your presence. So fill them up, God, just give them courage. That guy with the glasses, I think you were on the keys, right? Can you stand up? I just bless you as being so faithful. Faithful before the Lord. Faithful. You don't need a lot of hoopla. You just are faithful, 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 faithful. And just like God loved the prodigal son, but he also loved the older brother, not saying that you're like the older brother, but my point is this, you're faithful. And then the Lord said to him too, he said, all that I have is yours. So I just kind of feel like God's saying, ask. What do you want? Like, what are you asking for? It's time that you asked for maybe some crazy things. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's to do some sort of school or some sort of trip somewhere or something that you want God to do for you. Bring you his wife, your wife. I don't know. But I just feel like Lord saying, ask of me and I will grant it to you. So it's like you've got this favor to ask, an open door to ask. So it's just like the Lord saying, don't deny your desires because I give you those desires, you know. So bless you to ask. Amen. So thank you, God, for every person here, that you love everybody. And I just pray that you would speak encouragement to every heart here today and let your river flow in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many like that cute little baby over there? What do you think of her? Olivia, come on, fire of God. By the way, for these young guys in this seat, the other word I had for you is really to keep, or if you have already, but connect with Marcio. How do you say? Mauricio, sorry, Mauricio. I just feel like the Lord is saying there needs to be a connection there. So bless that relationship. Amen. Well, I do want to speak a message today. Why don't you get out your Bibles and turn to Isaiah 60? This has been a passage that's been really coming back to me again and again and again and again. And let's just explore this starting in verse 1. That's Isaiah 60. Starting verse 1, in New King James Version says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." And then it goes on. It's actually an incredible chapter. Arise, shine. Now, you know, Bill Johnson, who's the leader of Bethel in Redding, California, said that there was two encounters that absolutely marked his life. One was an encounter of power, and that is where he was literally shaking and trembling on his bed successive nights. And then the other one was an encounter in the Word, and it was this passage. It was Isaiah 60. And it's interesting because that was way back even in May of 1979. But he said that he felt like the Lord was saying, without exaggeration, that this scripture and experience has affected every day of his life since. And it wasn't just that, but I kept being drawn to this. But I was like, wow, you know, that's interesting that he is so marked for this. So it's like, as I was saying, God, please reveal what is it. I want to share some things with you today that I believe that the Lord is speaking as a now message through this passage. The word there for glory is in Hebrew, kabod. And kabod means weighty, as in of substance, as in it's has value to it. So for a moment, if you just hold out your hand, Lord, we welcome the kabod glory of God in this place. We welcome the weightiness of your glory, the weightiness of your presence, the reality that you are real and you are big and you are good. Ha, fire, pour it out, kabod, weighty. Thank you, God, for what you've done already, but Lord, pour out more. Now, some of you, now it doesn't mean that's a select group, but or an elite group, but some of you can feel a weightiness. Do you know who's that? Raise your hand if you feel that. You feel that. It's like you actually can tangibly feel something on your hand or your eyes or what. Yeah, you feel that. The weightiness of his presence, his glory. Now, of substance, it also means, that word means substantial, glory, honor, splendor, power, wealth, authority, magnificence, fame, dignity, riches, and excellence. And what does Isaiah say? The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. All right, that means that his honor, or his splendor, or his wealth, his authority, his power, his fame, his dignity will arise over you and be seen upon you. How many are up for that? I'll take that. Okay. So let's just pick one of those for a moment. Authority. So his authority will arise over you. His authority. So, you know, what is authority? Authority to heal the sick, authority to cast out demons, authority to see the kingdom of God come. I believe that the Lord wants to give us more of his authority, more of his anointing to see, you know, his kingdom expanded on the earth. Power, his power is risen upon you. So take up the power, the transformative power of his presence. You know, I was 19 years old when I had come back to live at my parents' place for the summer. I was in university, and I was with my parents in the farm in Canada. And every night for 3 weeks in a row, I was awakened at 2 a.m. by demonic visitations. Like literally, would see like a dark hooded figure. I was petrified. Things would move around in my room. Things would fall off the wall, or I would hear these voices. And it was really kind of strange. Now, as a kid, I used to kind of see demonic stuff too. But then it was like, I was trying to ask the Lord to open up my eyes into the angelic realm, and obviously not into the demonic realm. But this was every night in a row, 2 a.m., and I'm 19 and I'm thinking of sleeping in my parents' bedroom. That's pretty bad, isn't it? Like, I'm that afraid. But I realized something. I realized that I really didn't have authority and power. Like, I was born again at age 12, but I had received prayer when I was 17 for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Nothing happened. And I kind of thought, well, it's not for me, I guess. You know, God doesn't want me to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit or whatever. And that was just a lie. I just bought a lie. And so I realized I had no real authority. I went to a pastor, a charismatic pastor in our city, and I said, can you please pray for me? I am like being tormented basically. And by the way, do you know that a lot of people are discovering, a lot of people in the world are tormented by demonic stuff. Like they see them, they hear them, some of these horror movies too, I think open doors. Like people are opening doors into their life through horror movies, through music, through occult stuff, through Wicca or whatever. So anyways, I received prayer. I remember the fire. I felt fire on my head through my body and I was just like trembling. I got in my car to drive home. In the car alone with the Lord, I started to speak in tongues. Never had had a prayer language before then, and I was just like, wow, this is crazy. This is real. Like I really, you know, the gift of tongues. I went home to my bedroom and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command all this stuff to go. And it was the first night that I slept in 3 weeks. But I realized something. I realized that God wanted to give me power and authority. Now, I want to keep growing in that because I think we can keep growing in our authority, growing in that revelation. But do you know that God wants to give you authority? He wants to give you power. He wants to give you of His glory realm, His Spirit, so that when you lay hands on your child, they're healed, or when you, you know, pray for somebody, or when you, whatever, that you go into your workplace and all the demonic entities in your workplace don't affect you, you affect them. you cause them to flee, not you to flee, if that makes any sense. And so this is what God is saying. His honor will be risen upon you. I believe God wants to bring more honor, like, to His people, even in the marketplace, in the workplace, honor to Christian businesses, honor to Christian politicians, for example. Like, really raise up doors of favor and open doors for people that God has called, like the Esthers rising in this day, in this hour. I believe it with all my heart. There is, you know, there's something also about women arising in this day, in this hour. I think there's something on that, that God is really calling women to arise in honor and authority and anointing. And there's a whole bunch of prophecies I could give you about that. But I was part of the Washington in October where, I don't know, 10,000 women had gathered on the mall in Washington, and there was just a real prayer and releasing of women. Did you know there was a prophecy from Bob Jones? He's gone to heaven now, but Bob Jones 10 years ago, and the Lord appeared to him. Two angels appeared to him. One was named Charlie and one was named Irma. And they said, part of the prophecy was this, that when Irma comes on the scene on earth, it was a sign that women were going to arise in greater authority. Did you know that years ago there was a hurricane named Charlie that charted a course across Florida and the United States? And how many of you remember Irma? Did you get the news? Irma came, and it was just like, and all of a sudden all these people are remembering the prophecy that Bob Jones gave 10 years ago. But when Irma comes, it was a sign of women arising. And I do believe that. I believe that God is really raising up women and their authority in this day, in this hour. Well, you know, the Lord wants us to really walk in that authority. I used to train horses. I was raised in a farm. We had 15 horses at a time. And I remember training horses, and that horse would know if you were afraid or not. Do you know, they could feel it. They could just feel it. It was so, if you knew that you were the boss, you communicated it even by, I don't know, like the way that you rode, the way that you handled that horse. And the horse, if the horse knew that you knew what you were doing, the horse would obey you. Does that make any sense? By the way, my daughter got thrown off a horse yesterday. Did I tell you that? My daughter, Gloriana, she's at the teen ranch. Said, Jesus, heal her. She's okay, but she volunteers at this teen ranch show. This horse slipped on the ice and then reared and threw her off, but she's okay. Praise God. Anyways, so my point is this. It's something like, I don't know, if the enemy thinks that you have no idea about your authority, he will run rampant in your life. But if you know your authority and you stand in this glory of God risen upon you thing, it's, guess what? Those demons will flee. Does that make sense? It really is where we've got to know our authority. We've got to know our authority in Christ. It's Jesus who paid the price, but it's us taking our stand in him to be able to see his kingdom come. So what does Isaiah 60 say there? It says, darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. Do we really need reminding about darkness? It's not going to be a sermon on darkness, but let's just touch on a few things. Like, wow, look at how many natural disasters there are. Look at hurricanes. Look at mudslides. California just had mudslides. The fires, you know, at one time, just a couple weeks ago, the California coast, there was blazing with fires and the East Coast was covered in ice. I mean, just crazy things happening. Or ISIS, or persecution of believers. I mean, we have a guy that we know in prison right now in Izmir, Turkey, a pastor with Partners in Harvest. On and on and on and on and on. We could talk about, you know, all the things, the Mexico earthquake. My son-in-law's from Mexico. His father's church was very damaged by the Mexico earthquake that just happened, in an 8.2 in the Richter scale. And, you know, this, did you know that in Yellowstone National Park, that Yellowstone volcano has had 2,300 tremors just in September alone? I mean, incredible signs, 159,000, actually almost 160,000, check this out, Christians worldwide are martyred for their faith each year. What? 159,960 last year Christians were martyred for their faith. Talk about deep darkness covering the earth. Right now there are 70,000 Christians in hard labor camps in Northern Korea. Northern Korea is the most terrible nation for persecution of the Christians. And these hard labor camps, I mean, they're up to work very early in the morning. So we could talk about that. By the way, just a little side note. I believe God is going to unify North and South Korea. I believe that God is going to take out the ungodly leadership of North Korea. I believe that all the prayers of God's people need to be rising up right now. Just like Berlin Wall came down, North, South, remember East, West Germany? This is going to happen in Korea. I believe it. And I pray that it happens with very little bloodshed. Somebody say hallelujah. Like, meaning as in, oh, we don't need a nuclear war for that to happen. I just believe that God is going to do that. So, all right, but there is a really big button there. Deep darkness covers the earth, but the Lord will arise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. So what we're challenged with right now is to not stare at the darkness, to not focus on what is wrong as opposed to what is right. So that's the big challenge. I remember Patricia King saying it this way. She said, what you dwell on or what you focus on is going to kind of, it'll overtake you. So if we're focusing on the Lord and we're focusing on the light, we're focusing on the goodness and the bigness of God, and the glory of the Lord will rise upon us, that's going to release in us faith, and that's going to release in us walking in victory. But if we're focusing on, oh my goodness, ISIS is doing this, oh my goodness, this is how many persons, oh my goodness, my job is doing this or that, or come on, I struggle with that too. Do you struggle with that sometimes, with focusing on the darkness, focusing on what's wrong as opposed to what's right? That is really, really a challenge right now, because, you know, but the Lord will arise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. And Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. God is going to turn this all for good. God is going to turn things around. We are not to dwell on the negativity, on the darkness, on the news. That's all negative. get some good news in your life. Hello. I like to say to people, go on to CBN.com. That's ChristianBroadcastingNetwork.com. Click on the top left corner for the shows and or just go on to CBN.com news. And you can get the real news, like what you need to know in the world, but get it from a Christian perspective. And that's really, really helpful. Because if it's all bad news, you know, we lose sight of what God is doing, and he's doing a lot. Let's just talk a little bit I have some statistics here. Ruth's probably heard this, but let me give you some statistics about what God is doing. How many like the snow? Look at that. Isn't that amazing? Are we going to make it to London? Dan is looking a little worried. I don't suppose you get winter tires in England. No. Okay, we have winter tires in our country, but thank you, Lord, that we'll make it there. Yeah. Keshe Fire London will love that, but yeah. Wow, do you guys get much snow? You don't really, do you? Oh, come on. We got so much snow in Toronto. I was telling these guys that in a parking lot of a shopping mall, the mounds of snow, it looks like a mountain. It looks like a mountain because they're just, you know, pile it all in one area. And so, and we've had temperatures of minus 31 degrees Celsius. How many would like that? Come on. I'm praying for a Canada Goose coat. Anybody know what a Canada Goose coat? I need a Canada Goose coat. I'm putting those in. So anyways, but yes, we've had minus really, really severe cold, lots of snow, an amazing winter. I like snow. We ski, we toboggan and all that stuff. But anyways, there you go. God brought it for me. As long as I get to London, Lord. But anyways, Christianity is the largest religion in the world with approximately 2.2 billion or nearly one third of the globe claiming to be Christians. The fastest growing group are the Pentecostals and the Charismatics. As of this year, there are 430,000 international missionaries. Approximately 78 million Bibles are distributed globally every year. There are 6 million books about Christianity in print today. Statistics show that 85% of Christians become Christians in the age range of 4 to 14. By the way, we need to hear that stat. Did you hear that? Most people who are Christians become Christians between the ages of 4 and 14. Bless the kids ministry out there. Bless the youth ministry. So, so important. Only 4% usually become Christians after the age of 30. The Jesus film has been translated into nearly 1,000 languages, and over 200 million people have indicated decisions for Christ because of the Jesus film. About 500 Muslims come to faith in Christ every month in Iran. That's only Iran. Do you know that that's the greatest revival going on right now? The greatest revival going on is in Iran. How many say, wow, that's another big country that persecutes Christians. But and by the way, 70% of Iran is under the age of 30. So most of these new believers are young. By the way, have you seen riots in Iran? That's the young people. That's the young people rising up and saying, we don't want, this regime. They don't even want Muslim anymore. Do you know the young people in Iran are rising up and saying, we don't want to be Muslim? Somebody say hallelujah. Like that's, God's moving. No Christian was officially allowed to live in Nepal until 1960. There's now churches in every one of 75 districts in Nepal with over 500,000 believers. Every day, 20,000 Africans come to Christ. Africa, somebody say hallelujah. Africa was 3% Christian in 1900. It's now over 50% Christian. It's projected that by 2050, Africa will be home to 1.5 billion Christians. Christianity is no longer a Western-dominated religion because of Africa and because of Latin American countries have surpassed the Western nations in the number of Christians. In Korea, in 1866, all of the Catholic believers were killed. By 1900, there was no Protestant church, and the country was deemed impossible to penetrate. A Protestant missionary by the name of Robert Thomas tried to land in Korea. He managed to throw a bundle of Bibles into the crowd, into the mob, before they killed him. And even some Korean believers in our church, they talk about this, they know this, that one of the Bibles fell into the hands of who became a politician later. But anyways, that man got saved. Check that out. Today, Korea is 33% Christian, with 7,000 churches in Seoul alone, many with over 1 million members. Did you know that 10 of the 11 largest mega churches in the world are in Seoul, Korea? 10 of the 11 largest churches are in Seoul, Korea. You may have heard it reported that 70% of young people or young adults who regularly attend church leave church when they're in high school or college age. However, Lifeway research data shows that two-thirds of them come back. Two-thirds of them come back to the faith. In 2017, there are more than 5.5 million congregations in the world thanks to a 2.9% growth rate. And this year, Christians will give $900 billion to Christian causes. Somebody say, praise God. Do you think that's good news? See, the thing is that, you know, deep darkness covers the earth, but the Lord will arise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. Brazil, our teams for the School of Ministry are in outreach. There's teams in different places in America, I think in Sweden, in Brazil. The team in Brazil have just reported that they did a beach outreach and had 800 people saved. 800! They're now up to over 1,000 people saved on that one outreach alone. Do you know in our church in Toronto, we are seeing, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 people saved every week. We just baptized 40 people. Not too long ago. God is moving, people. Don't just stare at the darkness. Kabod is God's glory. You know, it's also sometimes it's termed his visible splendor, like when Solomon dedicated the temple and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. I believe that God is coming with greater and greater glory, greater and greater of his presence. Again, what you behold is what you come. I like Psalm 145. I mean, I love all the Psalms, but there's something there about how to walk over in victory over dark emotions. How to walk in victory in Psalm 145. Just read it as homework, but it talks about, I will extol you, O my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate in the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. As I was just reading Psalm 145, I was just seeing like three things. First of all, meditation on God. I'm setting my mind on you, Lord. I'm setting my mind on you. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can wrestle my mind with, oh, this has got to be done, or that's happening, or this is coming up, or... You know, I got, Lord, stay my mind. Put my mind on you. You know, Ruth was telling us in Glasgow that, and I heard this before too, that there's such a high rate of depression because some of it is sad, seasonal affective disorder. You know, because of the clouds, because there's a lack of sun, and that can actually physically happen. But, you know, I don't have all the answers to that, but I do know this. God is calling us to set our mind on him. I will meditate on you, Lord. Secondly, blessing him and praising him. I will praise you, oh God. You know, even if you don't feel like it. Do you know Bill Johnson? He used to be depressed. Can you believe that? This incredible pastor. And he talks about how when he was in this state of real melancholy, how he would pull his drapes and so nobody could see him, put on music and just begin to worship and begin to dance. Now that's the last thing you feel like doing if you're feeling melancholy. Okay, let me dance, you know. But he would do it anyways and just begin to dance and just begin to worship the Lord and just begin to praise God. And in this state of melancholy, in this state of discouragement, depression, as he would just dance and worship in his room, something broke off of that man. And what is he? He's leading a massive worship movement, really. The Bethel worship movement is huge, as well as revival. But God is saying, do not meditate or focus on all that is wrong. Worship him. Even if you don't feel like it. Come on, somebody here, I'm talking to you. Do you always feel like worshiping? Not necessarily. But you worship because he's worthy. You worship because because that's what we should be doing. And so there's this thing that causes the spirit to arise. Thirdly, to declare and to share with others, to speak of him. My husband, years ago, before I got married, actually, he woke up from a dream and he said, Psalm 145:11. That's how he woke up from a dream, screaming this. He's like, what is in Psalm 145:11? What it says is, men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. Wow. There's something about when we share with one another what God is doing, what God is doing. Malachi 3:16, it was my son-in-law who drew my attention to this verse. Malachi 3:16 says, and then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. It's like, what? Do you know that God listens in on your conversations? Whoa. Those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. The Lord heard them, listened to them, and a book of remembrance was written before him. The Lord listened to their conversation. He recorded what they were saying. And there's something about when we speak to one another about the Lord and the goodness of God. That's why it's so good to get testimonies. What is God doing? What's God doing? What's God doing? We speak of his glory. We talk of his greatness. Instead of grumbling and complaining, and you know, it's like, what is God doing? I was speaking 2 weeks ago today in Catchfire Scarborough, which is East Toronto. After I finish my talk, I get this text. Your mother is being rushed to hospital. Who lives in Stratford, about an hour and a half away. And so I'm like, oh my goodness. All right. So I start driving to Stratford. Then I get another text. She's now incoherent. She can't talk. She's reverting to Dutch. She's totally confused. My mother is 84. I have never, ever, ever seen her confused. As a matter of fact, she's extremely healthy. She walks the river every day in Stratford. It's a 2-mile journey in snow, much deeper than this. She will walk. And so I'm like, God, I am starting to cry out to the Lord and saying, God, save my mom. It doesn't feel like time yet. My dad is still, she's actually the caregiver for my dad. I mean, he's up and about, but he just needs help with remembering things. And so I'm like, oh God, don't take my mother. 2 weeks ago, I arrive at the hospital, and yes, she's completely, like, she doesn't even know who I am. She doesn't know what day it is. She's reverting to Dutch. She was raised in Holland. And so I'm just like, God, what's the deal here? Just begin to pray by her bedside and cry out to the Lord. And so tests were done. They thought, oh, this is a stroke. You know, she probably has a stroke. But the test came back negative. Then they're like, oh, maybe it's blood clots in her lungs or something. Those came back negative. Do you know what it turned out to be? It turned out to be influenza, which really is the flu. And because the potassium, magnesium, sodium levels were off, it caused the confusion. How many know that's a whole lot better than a stroke? I mean, I believe that the Lord turned the thing, if you know what I'm saying. And it was like, I was there for 3 days. I actually took care of my dad, and I was there. And she's completely fine and got those blood levels back to normal. And I'm like, God, you are amazing, okay? You did this. I know you did this. And so my mom, you know, she's just like, oh, now she's worried about, oh, you guys all came home for 3 days and I don't know, where's my pills and blah, blah, blah. And so finally, you know what? I was leaving to go back to Toronto and I said, Mom, more than your pills, this verse I want you to meditate on every day. I wrote it out for her in very large letters. And I said, are you going to do this? She said, absolutely. I will meditate on this verse. And it's Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the Lord of peace will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So she said, I will meditate on that scripture. Now that incident, by the way, has caused good things to happen. Now they're getting more care in the home and home care and stuff like that. But my point is this. If we're focusing on the negative, we're focusing on what the enemy is doing and what's wrong in our lives, that's what you're going to keep getting. If you start to focus on what God is doing, the glory of the Lord rising upon you, your authority, your anointing, that's what you're going to get. It's like, strengthen your spirit, church. Talk about him. Meditate, worship. Strengthen our spirit. As we strengthen our spirit, you know, meditate on what God is doing. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The Hebrew word here for shine means to set on fire. Risen means to irradiate and shoot forth beams of his glory. Arise, get up, basically. Arise, stand up, get up in your glory, get up in what God has for you. When we arise, he arises. When we shine, he shines through us. But there is this thing of, you know, the Lord just saying, I'm not going to do it all on my own. God won't do your part. You can't do his part. He's not going to do your part. You have a part to play. But we, you know, we can't do his part. I remember my grandmother, my great-grandmother on my mother's side, she was on her deathbed. She was dying. And sometimes that veil lifts and she began to cry out what she saw. And she said, I hear the angels. Can you hear the angels? They're singing. They're singing. And then she said, and my sins have all been washed away. They've been washed away. Because she's seeing her sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. She said, they're washed away by the blood of Jesus. And there he is. And she saw Jesus and there he is. And then she died. You know, it's really, really real. Come on. It's really, really real. I used to be a registered nurse. I've been around a lot of people who died. And many times that veil just kind of gets thin there at the end. But I tell you this, I've seen the people who are, you know, the frightened look, the terror look before they go. And then I've seen the ones that are peaceful and the ones that are being ushered into glory. It's really real. The secret things belong to God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever. God wants to reveal to us what's inside of us. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And you know, the whole thing about arising in the glory of the Lord is that we make a difference wherever we are. Do you know when you go into your workplace, God goes into your workplace. When you are, you know, welcoming him into your family, God's in your family. Maybe some of the family members are not saved yet. Maybe there's been some turmoil. Well, just keep welcoming the glory of God. Keep welcoming. Keep putting worship on in your home. You know, just take authority over those demonic stuff or whatever it is. But arise, shine. I was just one thing. I was doing actually this thing on the Sermon on the Mount and just studying. My daughter was actually teaching a course. She's in IHOP in Kansas City, but she was teaching a course in the Sermon on the Mount. I was one of her students. It's cool. She's 24 years old. And but it came to that we had to do some assignments for the course, and it came to the whole thing about salt and light. You know, that's in the Sermon on the Mount, but Jesus saying, you are salt, you are light. And I just remembered, so I put it in my little assignment. I remembered, again, being a kid on the farm with my dad and putting out salt licks. Maybe if you're not a farmer, you don't know what that is, but it's like a huge block of salt. And the cows would lick the salt to be able to get the right sodium content. And especially the milk cows, they needed salt to be able to produce the milk. And when Jesus says, you're salt, you're light, that's where we take the glory of God on this planet. But do you know what the cows would do if they didn't get adequate salt? Does anybody care what the cows would do? They would do crazy stuff. The cows would start to gnaw at the wooden fence, or they'd actually start to like this, do this with their teeth on rock, or try to eat dirt or something. It was really weird if they didn't get the proper salt content, because again, these, especially for milk cows, they're producing milk. They need the right salt content. And you know, I thought about that, and I thought, the world, we are salt. That's what Jesus called us. That's a preserving. It's a preservation, yes. But there's this thing of what would happen to the world if we weren't in it. Has anybody ever thought about that? What anarchy would prevail in Harlow if you weren't in Harlow? What crazy things would happen in this nation if there were not believers just sprinkled all around? Believers in parliament, believers in businesses, believers in the medical system, believers, hey, nurses, come on. Hey, brother, you're a nurse, aren't you? I remember that. Believers all in these come on, church. You make a difference. You're called salt, you're called light. When darkness is there, you turn on even a candle and it dispels the darkness. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Don't focus on the darkness. Focus on the glory of God. And it's on you and in you, and you make a difference. And what would happen? I don't know what would happen. I'm not sure, but I don't think it would be good. It would be very, very much anarchy, crazy things happening in society if the salt wasn't there. Come on, let's all raise to our feet. Let's pray. What? How about the keyboard guy comes back? I'm sure you got a name.
Luigi,
awesome. Luigi's going to get married. Amen, amen. Thanks. See, Sibelius says yes to that, so it's a confirmation. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name. Pour out your glory, pour out your glory, pour out your fire, pour out your presence in Jesus' name. Let them work in Jesus' name. Fire of God. You know what? Let's have you guys all come. Let's have a little fire tunnel here. Hannah, Dan, Ruth. Where is the some of your leaders? Voon is here. Spaley, whatever. You guys, you know them better than. Yeah, just come up here. Let's just have a little, what we call a fire tunnel, but we're going to pray for anybody that wants prayer. All you do really is you just kind of walk through this, and we're going to lay hands on you, ask for the glory of the Lord to fill you, the fire of God to come, that you would feel more, your tank would be filled, so to speak, your spiritual tank, if you will. Come here, you're going to start this. Come behind, tatted up dude. Come on, yay. So come behind him if you want. And we're just going to just walk slowly. Don't stop per se, but just walk slowly. Let's pray. Father, let your glory come. Your authority, your power, your wisdom, your honor. Just go ahead. Your glory rises on your church, on your people. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. You make a difference where you are. You make a difference. Stop thinking you don't. You make a difference in your workplace. The glory of the Lord risen upon you. Fire. 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 The glory of the Lord rises, rises, rises. Glory. Transform our minds, God. Transform our hearts. Transform our spirit. Glory of the Lord risen upon you. Fill. Fill their tank. Let the fire come. Let the fire fall. Let your glory come. Break in, Holy Spirit. Break in. Glory of the Lord. Let worship arise. Let the meditation of you arise. Let us speak of your goodness, God. Let's speak of your goodness at work. Let us speak of your goodness to our neighbors. Let us speak of your goodness at home to one another. Lord, let us speak of your goodness. Your glory, the glory of the Lord rises upon you. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. Fire. You got to keep going. Just walk slowly through this as we pray for you. And thank you for bringing Helen and Jonathan to this church. How many are happy about that? Come on. Fire. Fire. Fill. New day. Glory of the Lord risen upon you. His glory will be seen on you. His power, his authority, his splendor, his goodness, his love, his honor. Fill, fill, fill. Glory of the Lord. Fire.
Good to see you.
Fire. Your wife is back there, right? Fire, fire, fire. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. More, 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 more. Fire. 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 Your healing, fire. Your glory, your encouragement. Fire, fire, fire. Pour out, pour out, pour out. I'm just going to ask these guys, Ruth and Hannah and Dan, I want you guys to pray as well. Lord, let's just release right now more the glory realm. Lord, release that glory realm. Release the fire of your presence in Jesus' name. Release it, Lord. Release it.
Yeah, Father, we just ask right now that your glory would be revealed to the people in this church. Father, we ask that your beauty and your magnitude and your glory would be revealed, that they would see those eyes that burn with fire, that they would hear your voice like rushing water. Father, we ask right now that your glory would fall in a weighty way in this church, in Jesus' name.
Yeah, arise and shine. Your light has come. Father, right now we just ask that glory to arise even more. The full weightiness of your glory, that kabod glory. Jesus, thank you that the light is greater than the darkness. And the light shines, the darkness cannot overcome it. And we declare that right now, your glory would come. And there is nothing that can overcome it. Right now, in Jesus' name, we declare that over every single person here. Arise, God, arise and shine.
Yeah, Holy Spirit, we just ask you to increase your presence, increase your presence, increase your presence over these people. God, I ask for that, yeah, Lord God, just for that beckoning, God, for them in their hearts, Lord, touch their hearts, take them higher, God, give them greater passion for you, Lord, a greater passion for your glory, to exude your glory everywhere they go, God, let them know they're loved and called by the Most High God. Father, we just speak life, life in all its fullness and healing over these people. In the name of Jesus, would you break off any despair? Whoa, any oppressive spirits over these people, it goes in the name of Jesus. Life, fire, glory. Whoa, Shama.
God, I pray for healing even as people go through this fire tunnel. Aches and pains go. We don't receive aches and pains. They're not our inheritance. More, 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 more. Just keep walking. Maybe the ones at the end can just, yeah, fire, fire, fire. More. Glory of the Lord. Glory of the Lord. Be filled with the Spirit. Be strengthened in your body. Be filled with more of the authority of the Lord. The power of the Lord. The might. In Jesus' name, fill. More of you. More of your presence, God. More of your presence, God. Fill. Fire. 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 Presence of God, glory of God, rain down. Healing, strength, 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 strength. Just bless strength. I just see strength. God's giving new strength. Strength physically, strength in the spirit. Fire. Pour out, pour out, pour out, pour out, pour out.
issues.
Yeah. How about we just pray for him a bit, Lord? You keep going. You go this way, darling. Fire, 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 fire. More in Colin, God. More in Colin. Fire in Arthur. Fire in Colin. Come on, more strength for her, God. More strength for her.